We're working with this year's theme, Words for Life. And last week our word was Bible. And because we're in the midst of this little series on making sense of the Bible, today I'm going to do the Old Testament in 15 minutes, in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about, in relation to the Old Testament, we're going to talk about two E words, words that begin with the letter E, two E words, and two versions of a C word. So the first scripture reading that Liz is going to read is from Psalm 1, which shows us two ways of living. Then we're going to hear these passages from Jeremiah 29 and 31. And in 31, we get a glimpse of the C word. Listen for it. We begin with Psalm 1.
Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Words first from the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, and then from the 31st. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have sent you into exile. And from chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. So I want to extend a welcome to our Dove Mountain congregation. Please pray with me. We breathe, O God, and know that every breath is a gift of life. We thank you that you are our God. Amen. So we're going to think of things in twos today. You with me? Not so much like black and white or good and bad or winners and losers. Like, I heard that there's some football games today that are going to have winners and losers. Not like that, but two related twos, like twins or a couple, or two houses that you own, or two hobbies, or two other related things you like to do. Lots of things that we can think of related twos. That's what we're going to talk about today. Like this, there are two related parts of the Bible. The Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. Now, for your Jewish friends, that is their Bible. So when we say Old Testament, really, we Christians think of it as the Old Testament, but for many people in the world, that is their Bible. And so we sometimes will call that the Hebrew Scriptures or the Old Testament. And then, of course, we have the New Testament. The Old Testament was written primarily in Hebrew, and we have the New Testament originally written mostly in Greek. Together, they make up our Bible, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. And the events of the Old Testament go back at least 4,000 years, and of the New Testament, over 2,000 years. Here's another two. Most of the Old Testament as we know it, compiled like now, was compiled by around 400 B.C. The New Testament as we know it was compiled and set by around 400 A.D. Now, those are approximate, but you can put those in your head. 400 B.C. for the Old Testament, 400 A.D. for the New Testament. Just like two ways were laid out in the song that Liz read a few minutes ago, followers of God do this and others do not. Today I'm going to talk about the Old Testament in 15 minutes, like I said, so I have to keep going, don't I? In looking at the Old Testament, we are going to focus on two E's and two parts of a letter C, three words today. We're going to focus now on the two E's, and each of them goes with a very important story in the Old Testament. Here we go. Here's the first one. The first E word is Exodus and new beginnings. We think of Exodus as leaving, right? So one of the two E's of the Old Testament is the Exodus story, which has become critical to the Jewish people since that time. You're going to remember this story. This is the story of Moses bringing the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. The people got into slavery some 400 years before the time of Moses. First of all, because there was a famine in their land, and a few of them went there, and then they multiplied, and then high taxes sort of forced them into slavery, and they were building some of the great projects for the Egyptian pharaohs. And they began to cry to God for help, and God heard them. And God sent Moses to them. God sent Moses to let my people go. Here's the important thing about the Exodus. God saw the suffering of God's people and brought them out. God didn't just bring them out. So you remember that story about the plagues and about fleeing ahead of the Pharaoh and the slaughter of the firstborns and all of that, and the parting of the sea so that Moses could lead the Hebrew people on their journey. But God didn't just bring them out. God brought them to a land that God had promised to them, a strip of land about the size of New Hampshire, today known as Israel, the promised land for the Jewish people. Now, this is a valuable piece of land because it's a major trade route from Africa to Asia. People have to pass through the land that we today know as Israel. So then throughout Hebrew history and today, there's always a larger kingdom or an empire that wants that land, the promised land. This is the first E, Exodus, an event that shaped Jewish history because from it, the people believed that God brought them out of suffering and into a new land. And this event is celebrated every year by the Jewish people in Passover, remembered today in Passover. Here's the second E of the Old Testament, exile. What do you think of when you think of exile? Being sent out, being sent away, it's related to Exodus, to leaving, but it is not the same. After the Hebrew people are settled in the promised land, after they conquer peoples who are already living there in order to claim the land, well, you'd think that they would be so devoted to God with a capital G that they would never turn away from God again. But guess what? They began to follow the other gods, small g. And the peoples who lived in that land had gods for everything. They had gods of war and gods of fertility and god of this and a god of that. And they began to follow those gods, to fall away from God with a capital G, the God who delivered them, the God who cared for them. Eventually, they beg God for a king. Like other peoples have a king, they say. I am your king, says God. No, we want a human king. And thus begins the story of Saul and the great King David, and then Solomon after that. And during this time, the Psalms and hymns of the Bible are written, but the people cannot stay faithful to God. They follow other gods, and they fail to care for the poor among them, to live justly. People write about this. And eventually the earthly kingdoms of Israel in the north and Judah in the south fall. The people are overcome, first by the Assyrians in 722 BC, and then by the Babylonian Empire in 587. Now, many other Hebrew people are carried into exile in Babylon. Their temple in Jerusalem is destroyed, and their land is laid waste, and they are taken from their homes and their lives into exile. 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 And return. Along with the Exodus, the exile shapes the Hebrew people's understanding of themselves. 50 years in exile, God once more delivers the people. The Persian Empire has conquered the Babylonians, and King Cyrus of Persia tells the people that they can go home. They don't all go home, though. The Hebrew people have been scattered throughout the Mediterranean, so they don't all go home, but some do. And it's after the exile that they begin to write down in earnest their stories of faith. They begin to compile what we now know as the Old Testament in order to preserve their faith. Really, the Jewish people are changed forever by the exile, spread throughout the Mediterranean world into what is called the diaspora. Not all go back. Those are the two big E's of the Old Testament, the shaping events of Hebrew history, the Exodus and the exile. There is one more set of twos that is important to the Old Testament and to us, and it is the word covenant. You know, at the beginning, God made a covenant with Abraham. God said, here's a promise of land and descendants, a never-ending promise. I'm going to give you land and descendants. This is why that promise to Abraham back in chapter 15 of Genesis, this is why both of the great Abrahamic faiths, both Jews and Christians, in fact, but Jews and Muslims who trace their lineage back to Abraham, all of them claim the same land. It goes all the way back to biblical times. God made this covenant with Abraham, but then God made a covenant with Moses and with the people. When they're wandering in the wilderness after Moses delivers them from Egypt, God gives them those stone tablets with the commandments and a bunch of other laws, and says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. They had everything that they need, and even though the law was carved in stone, the people fell away from it. They worshipped other gods, they failed to care for their neighbors, their strangers and their friends, and they cared only for themselves. God judged them with exile, and then as the people are returning, God gives them yet another chance, because this is how God is. God gives them a new covenant through the prophet Jeremiah. God says, I'm going to write my covenant. God says, in fact, the stone tablets didn't do it. So I am going to write my covenant on your hearts. You know, God says, I've tried a lot of ways to let you know that I will be your God and you must be my people. And now I'm going to trust that made in my image, I'm carving a covenant on your hearts. You know, says God. You know what is good and right and what draws you to me and draws others to me. You know this deep within you. You know this. These are the two meanings of covenant. One written on stone or later on paper and other things. And the one written on our hearts with one meaning for all. God never falters. The covenant of God never falters. Written on stone or hearts, God's covenant is, I will be your God. What does this mean for us? Sometimes people say that the Old Testament, those Hebrew scriptures that we're talking about, is about the law of God, and the New Testament is about the grace of God. And this is surely true, that God's grace is poured out for us in Jesus, and we're going to talk more about that next week. But you have already seen that since the beginning of our Judeo-Christian faith, the grace of God has been shown, delivering God's people from slavery through E1, the Exodus, and giving the people another chance through exile and return. From the beginning, God has shown that there are consequences to those who turn from God, who worship other gods, who worship money or power or things or food or other people, or who do not care for the least or the lost among us. There are consequences, God says, for those who worship other gods or fail to care for those who are the least. There are consequences, and what God showed in the Old Testament is that your temples will be destroyed and you will be scattered. And we see that God's grace prevails. I write my covenant upon your hearts. With all of this, I trust that you know what is good and right and holy and loving. It is written on your hearts. You need only, God says to the people then and to us now through his scripture, you need only to get past yourself and your destructive desires and realize that I am your God and you are my people. Turn back to me. 100 times in the Old Testament, in some form, it says, I will be your God. And several times adds to the phrase, you will be my people. The Old Testament is the story of the people of Israel and their faith in God and ours. Have you ever needed an exodus? Been captured or enslaved by? You fill in the blank. God is waiting to deliver you to a new home. Have you ever been in a place of exile? Cast out or alone or outside or afraid? Perhaps by your own doing or perhaps because of illness or circumstance? God is waiting to bring you home to a new beginning. The Old Testament is also a story about God's desires and God's purposes for the people God loves, individuals, but God's people as well. Through the stories and the experiences and reflections of all of us, God's people, we hear God speaking to us even now. People need exodus and new beginning. People are in exile and need a way home. God says, I will be your God, and I challenge you to be my people. My covenant of love is written on your hearts. Deep within you, you know how to do this. Remember last week I asked us to consider, why are these stories included? And these are included, the stories of the Old Testament are included to show us that the ever, show us about the ever-present love of God, bringing us back from exile when we fail and delivering us into something new. Exodus and new beginnings. And there you have it, the Old Testament in 15 minutes.